We'll see once again. I'm not sure if we'll get to the top of the seventh here tonight. I may have to go help pull the tarp as well. There's a lot of things in the air here as the 0-1 misses down to the dirt, taking off for each bag. Duggar to second the throw there, not in time, and it gets into center field. Duggar lost his helmet. And a run comes in to score on the errant throw to center field. Now time called by the field umpire Jake Dunn appears to have hurt the shortstop Cooper Nicholson. An awkward run in there with Cashel Duggar. Either way, it's 7-4 Rafters. It's the second time a run is scored tonight without a batted ball in play for Wisconsin Rapids. McIntosh a runner in scoring position. And a three-run Raptor lead. This could end up being our final score here tonight. The 1-1. McIntosh chopped over on the ground to third. That skips off the bag and under the glove of Dykoff. Duggar is going to jog in to score. Another RBI knock here for Kyler McIntosh this evening. It is 8-4 Rafters. Two here in inning six. And it brings Dalton Five-Ash into the box. And you look at the right-hander, Carson Barta, talking to the home plate umpire, Mondo Alejandro, consistently asking for clean baseballs. Five-Ash in the ball game, 0-for-1, three plate appearances, hit by a pitch in the first, drew a walk in the third, and flew out to center in the fourth. They might be trying to finish out the bottom of the sixth. The rain is not letting up. It is beginning to storm here in Wisconsin Rapids. The first pitch to Five-Ash misses upstairs. Big goal here, just keeping the equipment dry. I know that is an obvious type of answer, but that is the main goal here. We have a little bit of a shifted setup here based on the amount of rain falling right now. It appears the general manager of the Raptors, Kende, making his way down to the gate down the third baseline. Now the field manager for Minnesota not thrilled at all that this game is still going on right now. You can't blame him. This is the nastiest it has been while the game is being played this year in Wisconsin Rapids. Nothing will beat the monsoon that we had on July 13th against the Lakeshore Chinooks in a game that never even ended up happening. But this is pretty bad in terms of what's going on the field right now with the rain still falling. It's the 1-0 to 5-Ash misses the zone for ball two. 2-0 the count. Another clean baseball needed here for the right-hander. Kyler McIntosh, the runner on first base. You're even starting to see some little puddles be formed out at short. I'm not trying to play the guessing game here, Raptor fans, but I'm going to assume this will be the final half inning we have here tonight as the 2-0 misses upstairs. Not because I don't think we can get this field ready to go. This is just not supposed to let up until like 1 or 2 in the morning. Now both field umpires as well arguing with the Minnesota field manager. Time called. Heading out to the mound to talk to his right-hander in this pouring rain. I think trying to make a point here that this should not be going on right now. And now Raptor field manager Ken Day making his way out onto the field. The Minnesota outfielders are jogging in. It appears we might enter a delay in this very moment. The infield starting to puddle up. Ben Lloyd running out new baseballs. The Mud Puppy outfielders were jogging in, assuming the inning was over. Instead, they may have to go out and resume their posts. Very confusing. There's no clear signs being brought up here. Yeah, based on the puddles out at short, it is not a good look here right now at Witter Field. Now the Minnesota field manager arguing with Raptor pitching coach Mike Spears. And we are going to resume play. 3-0 the count on Five-Ash. And now McIntosh staying off first, and he got picked off. That was intentional to get the teams off the field. And we are going to enter a weather delay here at Witter Field. 8-4, the score through 6. We may or may not have more baseball here tonight in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll have updates available as we know right here on WFHR.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
After fans, we have entered a delay here at Witter Field. Andy Ockham returning to you on WFHR. It is currently 8-4 after inning 6 with the Minnesota Mud Puppies. We will be entering a delay, and we will be sending it back to different programming and hope to hear back from you here tonight on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
There are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Wendy and I are grandparents officially. We can kind of talk about it. Our daughter said we can talk about it now. So congratulations. More relatives, Haley. Ho-wa.
And the cutest ones, too, I have to say. Congrats, Jelaine and Micah, on your beautiful twins, a daughter and a son. So exciting. And we're just also so grateful and happy for you.
Well, Wendy always said to the girls, the twins, our daughters, that they look like you, but they're cute. And I believe the grandchildren look like them and they're cute. So I think I kind of look a little like them. We've got dark hair and one of them has a cleft chin like I do.
Oh, so cute. Yeah. The dark hair, lots of it too. That runs in the family. That's really exciting.
Right.
So that is our exciting news to start out the show with. Unfortunately, something, not so good happened this weekend at a powwow that we should probably touch on. This is a really heartbreaking story. Tom Thunderhawk began his spirit journey yesterday on Sunday due to a shooting he fell victim to on Friday in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, while attending the Ogallala Lakota Nation powwow. These gun violence and killings of any sorts should never happen, let alone happen in a place of ceremony and healing. So our deepest condolences to the family, friends of Tom's, and others in attendance that evening.
Yeah, I agree. Just want to send out comfort prayers, and we're thinking of you and you and your family. And, it's a sad thing.
Hey, we got Dr. Stately on.
Hey, I know that guy. Hey, welcome, Dr. Stately. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. How are you?
Great. We should introduce you officially. You are the CEO, right, of Native Community Clinic here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities. You are executive director and president of Native American Community Clinic here, and we always love seeing you. The Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Rodriguez, we were wondering where you were Monday, but we couldn't tell them, so we did the show without you. Ho-wah.
Hopefully you told them I was at Sundance.
No, I thought you were, I thought it was anonymous, so I didn't really want to say anything. I just said, yes, we gave him the day off today.
Yeah, anonymous ceremony of life.
So how are you? How are you doing? I know Haley just brought up some sad news nationally. Yeah. We all have our prayers out there for family and relatives.
Yeah, that is very sad news. And I mean, I don't know. Gosh, that is that's kind of shocking that that would happen at a powwow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's tragic, very tragic. Yeah. Prayers for the family and the survivors of his loved ones. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
The community, of course, it's like the whole community has to be traumatized in that experience, I would imagine. So.
Yeah, I saw the live footage and it was pretty stunning. And us being powwow people, in a lot of sense, I'm not a dancer, but we like to go to powwows and support the dancers in the community. And yeah, it's a sad deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about the incident or the things surrounding it. I learned a little bit about it because I have I think some relatives that were there are from the area. So
checking in, how are things at the clinic? I know there we have a few things to talk about. Saturday for one, Haley, I saw in your great notes you guys are offering some services Saturday, Haley.
Yeah, you guys, NAC, Native American Community Clinic, is going to start offering medical walk-ins on Saturdays. Could you talk a little bit more about that, Dr. Stately?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've not had our Saturday walk-in clinic for a while now. You know, a lot of that was based primarily around capacity post-pandemic, right? So at first, we had to get back to full capacity. But yes, really excited and really honored to be able to state that we're going to open them back up Saturdays for walk-ins. That's important. It was like it has been something we did for many years up until probably, I think, I want to say probably 2021, maybe. Like, you know, when we started losing staff for 2022, we had to kind of like put that work off for a while until we kind of staffed back up. But finally able to do that, opening our doors. I believe the hours of are from... I don't remember what the flyer says, but I think it's basically noon, or I think 10, actually, now that I think about it, 10 to 2. So, and no, it's a walk-in clinic, so of course, no appointments necessary, just walk in on that morning. I think we, you know, the opportunity for you to get, you know, sort of like, you know, any you know, acute care that you might need that day. A lot of families sometimes, and folks especially during the year, we see this more frequently during the year when kids are in school. Kids can't get out of school to see a provider for, like, you know, the typical thing, like a strep test maybe, or some other issue, or people can't leave work. So it's an opportunity for you to get something taken care of that you can't normally get taken care of during the week. So really excited to be able to offer that back to the community again.
Well, Dr. Stately, I want to kind of reverse back to what happens at Native American Community Clinic. I want our people all over Turtle Island that listen to this show know about the clinic. And the clinic, how many people do you serve, do you think, weekly or yearly? I mean, it's a really important entity here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I just want to let people, like, outstate that listen to us all over Turtle Island, kind of get an overview of how great this clinic is for our community.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So the clinic is a federally qualified healthcare center. We're situated in South Minneapolis along what's called the American Indian Cultural Corridor. That's that space between sort of, I think, along Franklin Avenue, between 11th Avenue and Cedar. We're a couple blocks from the new beautiful American Indian Center, right? And all the other organizations that sort of serve the Native community along Franklin Avenue in and around South Minneapolis as well. And we provide comprehensive medical care and healthcare, which includes primary medicine, primary medical care, everything from like, you know, vaccines and, you know, health assessments and your, you know, you're kicking the tires to make sure everything's working okay, all the way to like, you know, chronic health care conditions, diabetes, heart issues, all kinds of things. We have a mental health clinic that provides outpatient mental health services, and also two outpatient substance abuse treatment programs, which includes a Suboxone dosing clinic. And then we have a very robust traditional healing program and a dental operation as well.
Wow. Well, we'll talk more, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about Sundance and what we can talk about here on Native Roots Radio, but how great that is for people to go there and people are interested. We're with Dr. Stately, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
You can't have too much pride, so don't miss one of the best rural pride events in the country at Fargo-Moorhead Pride, August 8th through the 11th. There are tons of activities, including a dance party, family fun night, a 5K fun run, block party, and a pride parade. In a little more than 3 hours, you can be in Fargo for 4 days of pride, including Pride in the Park, a trivia and karaoke event, and a Youth Pride All Ages drag show. Folks visit from all over the three-state area and Canada. Visit fmpride.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, and we're here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and just talking about some things there, some exciting stuff, reopenings almost, a lot of things still slowly coming back to normal from COVID, and some never will. It's an interesting time we live in. Dr. Stately, we know you were at Sundance, and I don't know, me only being a helper at Sundance a few times, I know it's a very sacred thing, but it's also a rejuvenating thing for the members that show up and are in deeply in prayer in Sundance.
Oh, yeah. I went to, this is my first time being at the Sundance. It was in just outside of Rosebud. I was on the Rosebud Reservation, actually, in South Dakota. And I hadn't been there
really ever. I think I was, I mean, I had been there as a child because I went to a boarding school in Chamberlain, South Dakota. And, you know, we would go to those reservation communities when I was a boy for basketball games and such. But it was my first time being at Rosebud as an adult. So it was really beautiful. I had forgotten how gorgeous it was there. And the setting was really beautiful. And I went to support my three nephews who were sun dancing. My one nephew that was danced for the first time this year. My nephew Ruben, who also incidentally, by the way, just shout out to my nephew Ruben. He was given a provisional invitation to join the Minneapolis Fire Department. He has to pass some tests and such, but he graduated from EMT school and he passed the national test for EMT, and then he also is on his way to becoming a Minneapolis firefighter, so I'm pretty proud of him. But I could have never been more proud of him than when I saw him dancing at the Sundance. He, you know, the other thing that was just like, I had this moment when I was, you know, towards the end of the Sundance on Saturday, folks are piercing and they're, you know, they're giving their flesh offerings and, you know, and the like, them kind of, you know, giving up their prayers and their offerings on that day. And it's a healing day as well. And I had this moment where I was like dancing along, you know, dancing in the arbor and supporting them by dancing alongside them or behind them while they're dancing and piercing and breaking from the tree. And I just, you know, none of my actual relatives were at the moment in time having, you know, doing their piercing or breaking from the tree, but my nephews anyway. And I had this moment where I was just like looking up at the tree, and I was, you know, in a very prayerful moment myself and just being really grateful that I was able to be in that space and thinking about all of the things that I do in my personal life and my professional life and the work I do for my community and just all the suffering and the challenges and all of the scale of the work that we have to do in our community, and just laying out prayers for all of my relatives here that live in the Twin Cities and where I work. And I just was overwhelmed by the beauty in the moment, and I just started to like cry. I think that's the thing that you know, it was just really remarkable about the experience. You just feel so incredibly grateful to be in that space. Looking around and I was watching everybody, and little tiny ones from like 6 or 7 years old in the circle, all the way up to like, these amazingly, elder grandmas and grandpas out there dancing, you know, in 100-degree heat, right? And and I was just thinking, oh my God, this is a good representation and a metaphor for like who we are as Indigenous people. We give of ourselves so that the people can live. We sacrifice our own blood, sweat, and tears so that other people can have health and well-being. We take care of one another in that whole entire space. Like it's a good representation of like exactly what we have to do as Indigenous people, or how we live and how we take care of ourselves and how we embody our values, our Indigenous values of being a good relative and taking care of one another and taking care of that Hoja Ka, that center. And it was just a really beautiful experience. I loved it. I was like, I can't wait to go back. I'll wait till next year. One week of being in the heat is a little bit much, but it was just an amazing experience, right? And it was really wonderful to support my nephews who were dancing, my four nephews. Family, and you know, you're eating good food. You know,
where the Henry brothers are?
The Henry brothers are there. The Henry boys.
Yeah, so proud of those guys.
They're so remarkable.
And my friend Barry Hand really
Barry
helped
Hand lead. There yeah
and he really helped lead these kids on as the youngins, and they've really taken off as singers, dancers, and in the community. I'm just so proud to know them.
Yeah. And then the last day I was there on Sunday, we stayed until Monday, and then I get to take a little bit of a tour of the tribal college there, which has been around for 53 years, I think, 54 years, something like that. One of the first tribal colleges. And it was like just, the community is beautiful. The people are lovely. My niece's partner's mother made us all breakfast before we hit the road. And, so it was nice. It was a long day for me, though, because I traveled up to Crow Creek, just a neighbor reservation on the other side there by 90, and went up there to see my son's grandmother and her and wow. their family, say hi to some people there, and then got home, got midnight air. So
powerful.
It was powerful. Lovely. So.
Well, we've missed you, and a lot's happened since, and rumor has it that you might be a vice president candidate here. Is Kamala?
That I may be. Well, I was on the short list, and I just, I politely said no, thank you. I have a thing I'm trying to accomplish here in the Twin Cities, but I know the American people need me, but I have community support. But thank you so much.
Well, how exciting is that?
You know who is on the short list is our governor, Minnesota governor, Tim Walz, which is really exciting, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what's really exciting about that, because I was talking with somebody about this. I was talking with my son about this the other day. I was driving him to see a movie with his girlfriend. And I said, hey, we're talking about, he brought up Kamala Harris being the presidential nominee. And he was like remarking about how amazing that was. And I said, yeah, what else is amazing? I said, there's a very good likelihood that she could pick Tim Walz, our governor, to be her running mate. And if they get in, if she picks him and they get elected, then you know what that means? And he goes, what? I said, that means our relative, Peggy Flanagan, or your tribal member, will ascend to the governor's position. I said, and that would be an amazing, amazing thing, because it would be the first time in history that a Native American female was in a governor position in the United States. And that, my son, I never thought I would ever see in my lifetime. So there's you're watching history unfold before your very eyes here, son. He's like, does that mean I don't have to go to history class? I'm like, no, that's not what that means.
Good answer. good question. Wow. That reminds me.
No, you still have to go to history class. But you're watching history unfold before your very eyes, because, I would have never thought, what is it like almost, I'm 62. So almost 44 years ago, I had the first opportunity, or 46 years ago, I had the first opportunity to vote. Right. I would have never, ever thought that, I would see an opportunity to see a female black president.
Right.
Be at the helm of the United States. I said, you were just a brand new baby when President Barack Obama was elected. I remember dancing in the streets in Seattle when you were just a little tiny baby. I left you home with people while I danced in the street. But I said, I remember being a young man when Geraldine Ford was on the ticket.
That's right.
These are things that I never, ever, ever thought that I would see, because I just thought America, for as progressive as we think of ourselves, there have been female presidents and female leaders all around the world and developed countries for decades now. Like, it's high time we step into this space. And, and then I said, by the way, look around you. You can see what men have achieved. So give some women some chance. Here.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Good call. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks so much for stopping in. We've missed you. And we'll see you around on the avenue. And I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you come on our show. It's always great to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you, too. Have a good evening. Take care.
You, too.
Be well, everyone. Bye.
Keep right on.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Debbie is downgraded to a tropical storm after making landfall in Florida and causing at least 5 deaths in Florida and Georgia. Near Savannah, Michelle Owens is interim city manager of Tybee Island.
We are expecting historic levels of flooding and rainfall, We're probably going to see flooding in all the usual areas, but also flooding in areas that may not necessarily have experience with that on Tybee.
Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris could announce her running mate choice as soon as tomorrow. CBS's Weijia Zhang says Harris has been talking to the finalists.
At the end of the day, this is her decision to make, and a lot of it will be following her instincts.
Defense officials say several U.S. personnel have been injured in a rocket attack at a military base in Iraq, none critical. It comes as tensions spike in the Middle East. CBS's Olivia Gazis has more.
We do not know where these rockets came from. We do not know the severity of the injuries, nor how numerous they are.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The lawyer for Devante Mitchell's family says an autopsy shows he died at the hands of four hotel employees in downtown Milwaukee June 30th. Mitchell was held down by four Hyatt employees after an incident at the hotel. Police recommend felony murder charges, but prosecutors said they were waiting for autopsy results before making a decision. Violent crime trends are going down in Milwaukee. The same is true nationwide. Advocates say the trends are encouraging, but the data is limited.
Homicide is influenced by a lot of local factors. In fact, we know that most violence can be isolated to specific neighborhoods within a city, so that it's essential for leaders to take time to analyze and fully understand local crime patterns.
Ernesto Lopez is with the Council on Criminal Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez divorce has been injected with some actual Hollywood-style drama. According to Suge Knight, illicit videos of Lopez were found when the FBI raided Sean Diddy Combs' properties a few months ago. The former Death Row CEO claims the FBI gave the videos to Affleck as a solid to prepare him in case the videos potentially went public. Knight is apparently basing this all on the timing of the issues between Affleck and Lopez. Combs has been accused of crimes ranging from sex trafficking to sexual assault. What are the effects of divorce? For a middle-aged man, for Ben Affleck, he sought counsel from his ex-wife Jennifer Garner, who eventually had to excuse herself from being her ex's therapist. Affleck is also rocking a faux hawk like Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. This all comes as TMZ reports that Affleck and Lopez are not speaking to each other. In the meantime, Ben Affleck will presumably be on the lookout for a new girl named Jen while looking like Travis Bickle. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. A flood watch continues tonight. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain. Severe storms also possible. Cloudy and a low in the upper 50s. Clearing for tomorrow. Nice day. High mid-70s. It's 60 right now.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We're having a party.
And you're invited.
It's happening in the WFHR parking lot.
And it's Wednesday, August 14th from 12 to 6 p.m.
We're going to have food trucks and giveaways and face painting.
Balloon animals, WFHR merch, music requests, and much, much more.
We'll host the party, play your music requests, and all you need to do is show up.
On Wednesday, August 14th, noon to 6 p.m. in our parking lot.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we might have to change that bumper soon from Lieutenant Governor Flanagan to Governor Flanagan.
Hey, we can hope.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, before we get to our guests, just give me a quick rundown of All My Relations newest gallery exhibit. I know you were there holding down the fort for Native Roots Radio.
I was there. I was, yeah, very fortunate enough to get a media invite on Friday before the opening on Saturday. And wow, I just got to say, Jay White, you are a very, very talented artist. It was so great to meet you and talk about your newest exhibit, Arikara Proper, at All My Relations Arts Gallery in Minneapolis. I suggest that everyone go out and see that at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Thank you, Haley. I will be going there probably Thursday. Hey, we have our friends back from the Minneapolis